We are now. Wait.
Where you go?
Hello, I'm Hugo Disler from Farming Circuits. We have the pleasure and the privilege to have Shane Joyce join us or give us quite a rundown on pasture management and the current situation, a lot of drought and uncertainty in Australia. So Shane, welcome. Could you give a bit of a brief rundown of what you're doing there and then we'll get straight into it.
Yeah, thanks, Hugo. What am I doing here? Well, it's interesting that you've got me on feed budgeting, because at the moment I'm breaking every rule there is, I think.
Okay.
Hello.
Yep.
I'm breaking every rule there is. I'm overstocked. I should have sold cattle a couple of months ago, but I haven't. So I'm in a position where I'm gambling wildly, and I don't often do that, but this year I chose to have a gamble. And in the process, I'm putting my paddocks under pressure that they're not used to getting when I'm managing them. But it's all right, I'm aware of what I'm doing. That's one of the key things. And it's not something that I will do repeatedly year after year. But what I'm already starting to see the results of it in some of my creeping bluegrass country that normally has a big body of grass on it, I've absolutely flattened it to the ground. I lost quite a percentage of it last year with pasture dieback, and I'm anticipating that that will ramp up even more this year if it follows the trend of our buffalo grass out of Theodore. Like the first year it started, the second year it was big time. So where I've got it flattened down now, we've had a spring break, so I've had now 58 millimetres in the last 3 weeks. And I was cruising around some of my bluegrass country this morning, and I've got an absolute squillion pasture legumes coming through, that have largely been shaded out by the bluegrass in the past. So I'm shifting from one species to another, which is, for me, is pretty exciting.
It's very exciting, Shane.
Shane, just to introduce this in a secondary way, is last week's Weekly Times, that's our rule of weekly paper, they've got the headline is Pay to Walk Away, and the National Farmers Federation is saying that farmers should get paid, to drought affected farmers, to move off the land and be reskilled. Now, Shane, the thing is this, that with some education, with some knowledge, and the sort of experiences you've had at the previous farm, that it is totally unnecessary. So the way we'd like to conduct this conversation with you is that giving farmers the tools to actually stay in the land and, well, they crudely put it, smarten themselves up, so that you don't have to have a headline about paying farmers to move off the land because of drought.
Can I suggest another headline?
Yeah,
I wonder what the response would be if the government paid the bankers to walk away from their banks.
That's likely to happen in the near future, actually.
Largely I see the situation, yes, there's problems with land management, but I see a large part of the problem now is the debt that's been created.
Absolutely.
And I fell into that trap many years ago of getting easy money from the banks, and largely that's an industry-wide thing where way too many farms are overcommitted to the banks.
Yeah.
The banks will generally not foreclose on them because they have cheap caretakers on the farms they obviously own.
Yeah.
So for the government to be saying, you know, walk away from your farms, who's going to manage this land? What's going to happen with it? So I guess that what you're saying, Hugo, that whole education thing is, I'm still going through an education process with managing landscape. And there's so many aspects to it. There's the, you know, physically what's happening on the land, the ecological processes. There's the financial processes. But the one we largely ignored is the human processes. You know, what's happening with the people in these situations? Largely, I see that the people in the equation, whether we're on the land or somewhere else in society, we've been largely neglected since the Industrial Revolution. And it's way, way, way past time to start to work on the human aspect of these things. And, you know, I know I've been in the industrial farming scene for quite a while, producing beef to feed the world. And largely it's a quite a demoralizing place to be in when you're just producing for an industrial machine, because there's no value placed on your product. There's no value placed on the way you manage the land. It's just a numbers game. It's just like, kind of like a sausage factory. And unfortunately, it's the humans in that process who are getting burnt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, getting back to the situation where farmers can manage their drought, one is... feed management or grazing management, and I'm sure both of them go together. So can you start sort of having a chat on that?
Yeah.
And previously, when I asked you that question, you said, well, a farmer should do a course. Well, they can't do a course today, but so maybe you can just give the best...
Okay, so I'll start by posing a question. And I guess I'll preface it by, you know, making a statement that most of Eastern Australia is in the most severe and widespread state of drought. So for you mentally, what does that make you feel like? Does that make you feel excited or joyful?
Usually, unfortunately, it's usually associated with depression.
Yeah, okay. So then let's look at the concept, and this is what I did quite a long time back, was removing drought from my dictionary. And now I'm claiming now that Eastern Australia is in a severe and widespread state of opportunity. And If we start to present this to people on the land, and even the people in the rural towns who are selling stuff to people on the land, the businesses who are also being affected by the dry weather, what are the opportunities in when it's not raining? You know, obviously, when it's not raining, it's a great time to be at the beach because the sun's shining. So the other opportunities, if you're in livestock, really livestock are just a form of money. And so if we haven't got grass for them, then we cash them and put the money somewhere else and put it into another form, whether it be real estate, whether it be commodities, whether it be stock market shares. There's plenty of other places where we can put dollars that is a different form to having them in livestock. And also, if you're a crop farmer, there's also other places you can put your money rather than putting it through a tractor and putting it into seed and cultivating paddock. So we can unlock ourselves and explore other opportunities. But I guess from a grazing perspective,